Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us today for this message. I'll be preaching from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. And the title of the message is The Simple Truth. The Simple Truth from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I've often said to people concerning the ministry of the gospel that when it comes to preaching the gospel, it's a very simple message. Now, I caution you when you hear that, because I want you to understand that a lot of things that are being preached today as gospel have been oversimplified to formulas and sayings and repeat this after me, step one, step two, repeat this prayer, and all that. And that's not what I'm talking about when I say the gospel is a simple message. What I mean by that is it's a singular message. And that singular message is that which emphasizes that all of salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is none other than the Messiah, God in human flesh without sin, and who accomplished the redemption of his people through his death on the cross, wherein he established righteousness for his people. The ground of salvation is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, freely imputed, charged, accounted to his people, and whereupon by the power of the Holy Spirit they receive him by faith. And it's a simple message, and I preach it over and over again. This is an evangelistic program. I mentioned last week and on several other occasions that the Reign of Grace Media Ministries, this program is called Reign of Grace, but it's an outreach evangelistic ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia, where I pastor. And I've often, people tell me, say, well, tell people, you know, to come to church, you know, visit us at our church service. We, on Sunday morning, we have a 10 o'clock Bible study. And 11 o'clock, we have a main worship service. And we certainly do invite you to attend those services. Visit with us. We'd love to meet you and get to know you and love to have you there with us. And also, we offer those services on live streaming if you have a computer, at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and at 11 o'clock. Following this program, so this program comes on at 9 o'clock. Well, following this at 10 o'clock on the computer, go to our website or go to a page called Sermon Audio and look up Eager Avenue Grace Church or Reign of Grace Ministries, either one, and you can follow the services. But we preach the gospel. We preach the simple gospel. So the gospel is a simple message. The Bible, however, when you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is not a simple book. It takes some effort. It takes some time. And mainly it takes the revelation of the Spirit of God to help us to understand and to discern the Scripture, rightly divide the Scripture. So it takes some time, and I do that as I go through the Scriptures. Here's one passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul had been dealing with the church in Corinth concerning false preachers who had crept into the church. And false preachers and false prophets, one thing they do when they come under the guise of Christianity and preaching the gospel, they'll deny essential truth. They will ignore essential truth. They will complicate essential truth. They'll corrupt it. And some are more subtle than others. There are some who call themselves Christians that true believers have no difficulty in exposing. But there are others who come closer And Christ talked about that in the last days. He said some will be even so close that if it were possible, they could deceive the very elect. He spoke that in Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13. If it were possible. But thank God it's not possible for the elect of God, those whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ, to be ultimately and finally deceived. They can be deceived for a while. I was deceived in false religion, calling myself a Christian for years before I really heard the true gospel. And that's what Paul's talking about here. These Corinthians who had heard the gospel from Paul, their minds were being corrupted away from the true gospel. And here's what Paul writes. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. He says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." And that jealousy there is a good jealousy. A lot of times jealousy is nothing more than envy or selfishness. But this is a good jealousy. I don't want you to be drawn away from Christ. He says, "For I have espoused you to one husband." Now, who's the husband there? He says, "Well, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The church, the true church, is the bride of Christ. Christ is the husband. Over in the book of Romans chapter 7, he talked about how believers who are brought into the kingdom in the new birth by the power of the Holy Spirit are married to Jesus Christ. Not married to the law, not married to the hierarchy, not married to the church. They're married to Christ. They're married to Christ. They're united to Christ. In the book of Revelation, the church is presented as the bride of Christ wearing the white wedding garment. What is that white wedding garment? That's the righteous robe that Christ, by His work, His obedience unto death, His merits, made for His bride and put on them. It's what the Scripture tells us is the righteousness of God, which is imputed. That means accounted, charged to His bride and put on them. And the bride, each individual member of the church, when they're brought to faith in Christ, another way of saying it is they put on Christ. They put on His righteousness. Now, Christ is the one who put it on, but by faith they receive Him. And so that's what he means. I want to present you as a chaste virgin. What is that chaste virgin? It's a pure bride. Now, how can you talk about the members of his bride being pure and chaste virgins when they're sinners? Well, only as they stand in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness. That's the only way that we who are saved can claim purity and virginity. That's spiritual virginity. But look at verse 3. He says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." Remember, Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Remember what he did, Genesis 3, hath God said, he planted the seed of doubt concerning the truth of God's word, and then he just openly denied what God said. God told Adam and Eve, "In the day that you eat thereof, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." What was Satan's message? "You shall not surely die." Satan told a lie. That's what false preachers do to people who are not truly trusting Christ. "Oh, you're okay. You're doing well enough. You know, don't listen to that guy. He's just talking about some other things." But no. If you're not trusting Christ, you shall surely die. You need to trust Him. So he says through his subtlety. Verse 3. "So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The simple truth. Now, what does that word simplicity mean? Well, it doesn't mean, and listen to me, the gospel is a simple message. It's so simple that even a child can understand it. But don't reduce it to just religious formulas, sayings, what I call bumper sticker religion. That's not the way the gospel is to be presented. It's a message. And it's a message. First of all, we need to understand this. That no one by nature, child, teenager, young person, old person, by nature, can understand it savingly. No one. That's why the Bible says over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, what is the natural man? A lot of times when we read the Scripture, we look at terms like that, and we have a tendency to put that off onto other people whom we think fit this description. For example, what do you think of when you think of the natural man? What do you think of? Well, some people say, well, that's got to be those worldlings or those people who don't go to church or those people who haven't made a profession of faith, who have never been baptized, who have never joined the church, or the most immoral people. Well, here's what we need to be concerned with. What does Paul mean? What does the Holy Spirit intend to mean by the natural man here? Well, the natural man, now listen to me, the natural man refers to all of us by nature as we are born as fallen, sinful, spiritually dead creatures, human beings. In other words, before I was born again by the Spirit, what was I? I was a natural man. I was religious. Maybe you were too. Maybe you are now. Dedicated and sincere. Saul of Tarsus was a religious man. He was part of the moral majority in Israel. But before he was converted by the Holy Spirit, born again by the Holy Spirit on the Damascus Road, what was it? He was the natural man. The Bible says that even God's elect have to be quickened by the Spirit. That means made alive spiritually. You must be born again. And up until the time we're born again, we are by nature children of wrath, even as others. No difference between the unbeliever and those who come to faith before they come to faith. As far as spiritual life, there may be other differences, culture, morality, religion. But as far as salvation goes, no difference. The natural man includes all of us by nature as fallen in Adam. We fell in Adam, ruined by the fall. When Adam fell, he, as the representative of the whole human race, he brought the whole human family into sin and death. For as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, for that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that's what happened. We fell in Adam. And as a result, we're born dead in trespasses and sins. We have physical life, but we have no righteousness before God. We can't work righteousness with God. And we don't desire righteousness God's way. So he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's why Christ said you must be born again, or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, for they are foolishness unto him. The things of the Spirit of God are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, what is foolishness to the natural man? Well, he tells us up here in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 2. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now, he's talking about believers there. And he says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's what the natural man does not understand. What things are freely, unconditionally, without a cause, given us of God? Well, here's the answer to that. All of salvation, all of its blessings, all of its reward rather, are given to God's people freely, unconditionally, without a cause, by Jesus Christ. The simple message. Christ is my whole salvation. He's all my redemption. He's all my sanctification. He's all my righteousness. He's all my wisdom. You see that? The forgiveness of my sins. It's all by the blood of Christ. None of it is conditioned on me. None of it is given to me by God because I did something for Him. That's the single message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead. That's my whole salvation. He's my whole salvation. I stand before God justified, not guilty, righteous in God's sight, based on what? Something that I did? No. Something that God enabled me to do? No. It's totally by what Christ accomplished on Calvary as my surety, as my substitute. He is the Lord my righteousness. His righteousness, my sin was imputed, charged to Him, and He was made guilty. He went under the wrath of Almighty God as my surety, having my debt charged to His account. And He suffered, He bled, He died, and in doing that He drank damnation on my behalf, totally dry. He paid my debt in full, He satisfied the justice of God. In my place He made an end of sin, He finished the transgression, and He brought forth an everlasting righteousness, which God has imputed, charged, accounted to me. He took my demerit of all my sin and gave me His merit of all His righteousness. For Christ, God made Him to be sin, Christ who knew no sin, for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's all in Him. So the forgiveness of my sins is by His blood alone. Not by my tears of repentance do not wash away my sins. Christ's blood does. And if you ever see that, you'll repent. His righteousness alone. That's the single message. That's what the simplicity that is in Christ, it means a singularity. I have one message. Somebody said, you just preach the same thing over and over again. That's right. Basically. I preach the Scriptures. I deal with other subjects. But listen, over here in 1 Corinthians 2 again. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Here's the simple message. The simple truth. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." What he's saying there is, he said, I didn't come interjecting human philosophies, human religion, human reasoning, human turns of phrases and things like that. I just simply put it out to you. Here's what God says. And that's what I try to do every week on this program. This is what God says. I hope and pray that you believe it. I know that if you do, that's the power of God. It wasn't the power of your goodness. It wasn't the power of your free will. It was God changed your will. I know that. That's what this book says. If you believe the gospel, that means you've been born again by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, then if it's not up to me and not about me, then what? I don't have to do it. You seek the Lord. You don't live in the realm of God. You're not God. And I'm not. And we just do what the Bible says. The revealed things belong to us. The secret things belong to God. But this is what he's saying. I'm just telling you what God says. Now, you may not like it. And you may disagree with it, but that's not the issue. I hope and pray that you do like it and you do agree with it. But if you don't, I'm still going to tell you the testimony of God. I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to philosophize it. I'm not going to use beautiful language to cover it. I'm just going to tell you what God says. And here's what he says in verse 2. Now, here's the simple truth. Listen to it. For I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ, who He is, God in human flesh, the God-man, the Word made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He is God and man in one person. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's our prophet, our priest, our king. He's the surety of His people. He substituted Himself in their place. He's the Lamb of God. And we could go through the scripture describing Him. Oh, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of His sheep, the Good Shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. And that's what He means, Him crucified. Jesus Christ, not only who He is, but what He accomplished on Calvary. What did Jesus Christ accomplish on Calvary's cross? Did He just bring a possibility of salvation? No. He saved His people from their sins. His death secures and ensures and even demands the salvation of all for whom He died. You say, well, how do I know if He died for me? Do you believe? Do you rest in Him? And He was raised from the dead for the justification of His people. Righteousness was established. Now, what's Paul saying there when he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Well, here's the simple truth. Here's the single truth. It's all about Christ. It's all about Him, who He is. It's all about what He accomplished on Calvary. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about our felt needs. It's not how we can feel good. It's about Christ. And anything that applies to me as a saved sinner, by way of blessing, by way of commandment, by way of assurance, by way of growing in grace and knowledge, by way of worship, service, love, which all are things that we preach and need to promote, anything that's about me always will redound to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ and not me. That's what he's saying. There's the simple truth. Salvation and all of its blessings and all that true believers experience, it's all founded upon, grounded upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It all centers around Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it is all aimed toward the glory of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, that's why on this program, I'm not here to brag on me. I'm not here to brag on our church. I'm not here to brag on you. I'm here to brag on Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is unto Him and about Him. Christ is the foundation of the church. Christ is the heart of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Now, because He is the foundation, the heart, and the head of the church, all who believe the gospel are so blessed of God. It ought to bring us together in Christian love, in obedience and service, motivated by grace and love and gratitude. It ought to make us fellow helpers with each other. All of those things that we are to do in order to be Christian, in order to evidence Christianity. It's all about Christ. It's all about His glory. It's all about His preeminence. So that any subject I'm talking about, whether I'm talking about worship, service, love, giving, anything, it's all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, who gave Himself for His people. And I don't want Paul saying to the Corinthian church back here in 2 Corinthians 11:3, I don't want your mind to be corrupted from that single, simple truth. I don't want you to promote anything that would promote self-righteousness, selfishness, self-glory, because that's where you have the fightings and where you have the hatred and where you have the division, the glue that holds God's people together is that simplicity. That's in Christ. That simple message of how God justifies the ungodly through the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. How it's all of grace. You see, I don't have anything to look to myself and to exalt myself. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I don't have anything to look down upon you as far as a right relationship with God is concerned. Because, my friend, if you have a right relationship with God, it's not due to your works or your efforts or your goodness. You don't have any. I don't have any. Or your will. It's due to God's goodness, God's grace, God's will, His sovereign will. God determines these things, and He's determined that everything that He has for a sinner in salvation, in mercy, in grace, and in love is found in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that single message. And outside of Jesus Christ, outside of His perfect work of substitution on the cross of Calvary, outside of His blood and His righteousness, there's nothing good from God for a sinner, ultimately. That doesn't mean a person cannot receive some good things, but they'll end up being a curse. God is for His people in Christ Jesus. That's the simple truth. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again and is seated at the right hand of the Father, which is in heaven. You see, this is the simple truth. You say, well, you keep saying it over and over again. Well, we need to hear it over and over again. We're not hearing it enough today. We're hearing a lot of preaching. We're hearing a lot of moral pep talks. We're hearing a lot of self-help things. That's false gospels. Look to Jesus Christ, stay with Jesus Christ, and continue to honor Him. That's the simple message. Paul said, I don't want your mind to be corrupt. It's my prayer that God will bring you to see that and that He will keep me seeing that. That's the issue of the gospel. That's the simple message. God saves sinners by His grace through Jesus Christ alone. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.